Morning.
Today is Friday, December 13th, already, 2024, and the time is 8:30. I now call the meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I'll conduct a roll check. Commissioner Morris, are you present?
Yes.
Commissioner Osborne, are you present?
Present.
We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with all three members present. If there's anyone wishing to address the Audit Committee, please fill out a witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items to 10 minutes. First order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on October 25th, 2024. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? All right. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on October 25th, 2024?
I'll make a motion to approve.
President Morris, second.
All right. Commissioner Osborne and Commissioner Morris, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. All right, we'll now move on to item B. Commissioner Retta, would you please give us your report?
Certainly. I'll draw your attention to page 5, summary of the audit activities report. With respect to the first one, we referenced the other procedures finalized and implemented, and they have been finalized and implemented now as of this date. We do have the annual risk assessment, but we'll discuss that a bit later, as I understand. And then the desk audit, we do have a comment on that, and I'll make a couple of comments, but in the meantime, if I could ask Antonia Antov to come forward, to Director of Operations, to comment on that. With respect to the post-payment procurement audit, still in progress, as is the Texas Workforce Commission. And then we did receive, and all the Finance Commission members, I think, were also notified that we received the State Auditor's Office and audit to take place. We have our entrance meeting with them on Monday, so we'll get into that. It is scheduled to run between the 24th or November and then through April of next year. And then the cybersecurity framework assessment, that's scheduled to begin in March. If there are no questions about that, I'd ask Antonia and Todd to come forward then.
Good morning, Antonia Antov for Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. So I wanted to make some comments on the desk audit. It is included in your materials. The report is on page 9. And this is a desk audit that the controller staff performs remotely with no interaction or input by us. In this case, this is a desk audit for the security access in the statewide accounting systems, and it covered 205 agencies. Before CAPS, I guess now there's better reporting capability and better technical capability to allow them to do this for everyone at the same time. Before, this item was included in the individual post-payment audits that controller performed for each agency. Now they're doing it for everyone at the same time. In this case, the results of the audit were that 84% of the agencies reviewed had multiple security capabilities and conflicting functions, which the recommendation by the controllers is that the duties are so segregated that no single user can process and approve a transaction without the oversight or the of another employee. All of our three agencies made the list with similar issues. However, none of us are on the list of actual transactions processed by a single user. We all have compensating controls in place that do not allow this to happen. And however, these were not tested or reviewed at all by the Comptroller's Office. During previous post-payment audits, auditors agreed that with our size of structure in such a small agency, it's normal to have overlapping functions. Obviously, we have limited employees to deal with accounting and finance. but this is not taken into account here. Virtually all the small agencies are on the list, and bigger agencies as well are on the list, like Comptroller's Office and State Auditor's Office. So, yes. So we're currently reviewing the findings and see if we can make any changes to our security setup without making the accounting function less effective or efficient. So I'll be happy to address any questions if you have.
You said you have got compensating controls, and they say didn't test them, but y'all are comfortable.
And yeah, and they send detailed lists to each agency about the specific access issues, and none of ours are anything that would allow someone to really do significant damage. And the other thing is that the systems do not also prevent you from setting up access like that, which to me is obviously a statewide issue. If 84% of the agencies have similar issues, then it's, you know, it's a different problem, but the system would not preclude you from giving access that's conflicting to an individual. So every agency has to kind of judge on their own what is okay and what is not. So any questions?
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all from our audit activities.
All right. Commissioner Cooper?
Sir, begins on page 6. The first one is the comptroller statewide audit controls over the expenditure processing desk audit, just as Antonio mentioned. She did a really good job of covering the situation, and I think three agencies, we're looking to see if there's anything we can modify, but I agree with all of her comments. So then we have the, from the comptroller, we have post-payment audit. The work started on August the 19th and continues. And then the third item would be the Garza Gonzalez risk assessment, which we'll hear about a little bit later. And that's all we have.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Pettigill.
Mine's almost ditto, but the internal audit risk assessment, we'll hear about in a minute. The Workforce Commission, we are have submitted all our information. That review is in process. We're waiting to hear back on that. Statewide controls, I also agree with comments about small agencies. It's just difficult to separate all those controls, but we are reviewing those and making sure we either have compensating controls in place or trying to separate them. And then the last one printed here has been on here for a while, this non-criminal justice agency audit on fingerprint access that we're really kind of waiting for the next audit to happen. Then lastly, I didn't include it, but it'll be on here next time, as we are also going to be undergoing the Texas Cybersecurity Framework assessment in March. The materials, I think, start to get submitted in February, so we'll but we're preparing for that now, so that'll be on the next report. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you. We will now move on to item C. Ms. Kimberly Lopez Gonzalez from Garza Gonzalez and Associates will present for each agency. Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Audit Committee, Commissioners. Glad to be here this morning. I'm Kim Lopez Gonzalez, representing Garza Gonzalez and Associates, and I'm here this morning to present to you the audit plan for the Finance Commission, which includes the audit plan for each of the three agencies. And that audit plan can be found on pages 31 through 49 of your packet. Page 33 of this risk assessment, we did perform a risk assessment, the annual risk assessments that's required, and the audit plan is required by the Texas Internal Auditing Act to be prepared on an annual basis. So once this is approved, we will submit it to the agency so that they will know that you are in compliance with those requirements. Page 33 of the report is our report to you, indicating that we performed the risk assessment and developed this audit plan for your review and approval. Of course, this audit plan can be amended or revised as considered necessary by this body throughout the year. But as part of the risk assessment, we do come up with various areas to be audited for fiscal year 2025. And I'd like to start on page 37 of the report, which is the Texas Department of Banking. Page 37 of the report does indicate that based on our risk assessment, we identified 17 potential audit topics, which are included in the table on page 37. There are the high risk areas, moderate risk areas, and low risk areas. Based on the risk assessment, where we use 8 risk factors to address the identified risk, we are recommending on page 38 to audit the revenue accounting process area and the money services businesses area. In addition to that, we will perform follow-up procedures from prior year outstanding comments and recommendations and prepare the 2025 internal audit annual report, which is required to be submitted by all state agencies to various state agencies, the state auditor's office, and other agencies by November 1st. But what I'd like to do before before we move on to the other agencies is direct you to page 44 of the report. This gives you a summary of the risk assessment and identifies the areas in the high risk, moderate risk, low risk, and it shows also the risk factors that were used to get to that point. You can see in the high risk areas, there are 5 of them. And within that area, we are recommending the revenue accounting process and the money services businesses. Now, there is MIS, which is the information systems, that does raise to a higher risk, but there were reasons for us deferring that area to a later date. One of the reasons for that is the continued vacancy of the CIO position, the chief information officer position, and we understand that the agency is hoping to hire a person if maybe they have not already hired a person for that position. We like to give them some time to get adjusted in that area before we recommend it for audit. Another area that came in higher is the bank examinations area and the payroll and human resources area that raised to a higher level than the money services businesses. In the bank examinations area, there had been a number of vacancies, and they are getting, they do have staff on board. They are in the training process, so we'd also like to get them, give them an opportunity to get those people trained and then consider it for an audit at a later date also. The payroll and human resources, that audit was, that was an audit that was performed prior year. There are comments and recommendations that are outstanding that we will follow up on. So we do not recommend that audit for fiscal year 25, but we will perform a follow-up of those comments and recommendations that were included in fiscal year 24's report. And that's how we got to the money services business area for audit. So those are the two areas that we're recommending for audit. We did submit our information. We did have a lot of correspondence between us and the agency and also the audit chair. Prior to preparing this final audit plan so that we could consider their feedback before preparing this plan. And I'd like to address any questions that any of you may have at this time related to the Department of Banking's audit recommendation.
Just a question for all our agencies. Do you all come on site or is all this external, off-site?
For the risk assessment, we performed it offsite.
Offsite.
When we performed.
No, but I mean, when you come in and do these actions.
We do show up on site.
Okay. I'm just curious. Thank you.
Could I ask a question? Back on the MIS portion you talked about we have an acting CIO and we are in the process, hopefully, of coming up with a full time. Another reason, and being somebody that always has to worry about cybersecurity, et cetera, we do have a lot of touch points from DIR, et cetera. It gives me a little bit of comfort that we're not flying completely blind. So.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Cooper. That is exactly right, that there is continuous oversight by the DIR. We understand also that the Oracle Cloud Infrastructure Assessment is planned also for the agency. And the agencies have indicated that cybersecurity framework assessment also is performed periodically I don't know if it's annually, but every 2 years. So there is a lot of oversight. It's just that the they don't have the actual CIO, but there is somebody acting as that in that position.
Thank you.
And if there are no questions on the Department of Banking, we can move forward on the next agency, which is the Savings and Mortgage Lending, and that begins on page 39 of the report. The same methodology was used in the risk assessment process to get to the point where we have the areas of high risk, moderate risk, and low risk. Page 40 indicates that based on that risk assessment, we are recommending for audit this year the thrift examinations audit. And in addition to that, as I indicated for the Department of Banking, we will follow up on prior year outstanding comments and recommendations and complete the 2025 internal audit annual report. And that risk assessment summary for the savings and mortgage lending can be found on page 45 of your report. When you see this risk assessment summary, you can see that there are three areas in the high risk area. With thrift examinations continuing to be as a high risk area, it was a high risk area last year also. So this year we are recommending that one for audit. So that is the area for recommendation. Any questions on the answer? Moving forward to the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner on page 41 of your report. The same process for the same methodology used for the risk assessment to identify areas of high, moderate, and low. Page 42 indicates that based on that process, we are recommending the business licensing audit for audit. And also, every odd year, the Finance Commission has indicated that they would like to have the TP Fund Investment Portfolio Administration audit performed. So in addition to the business licensing audit, we will also perform an audit of that area. We'll follow up also on any outstanding comments and recommendations and also prepare the 2025 annual report. The risk assessment summary for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner can be found on page 46. There are two areas in the high risk area, which is examinations and business licensing. And the examinations was performed last year. What's bringing it to a high risk area is there are some outstanding comments and recommendations, which we will follow up on this year as well. So that's the audit plan for the three agencies for the Finance Commission as a whole. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have for me at this time.
Any questions for Ms. Gonzalez? Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's fiscal year 2025 internal auditor's risk assessment and audit plan?
Rosie Moore, so moved.
David Osborne, second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We will now move on to item D. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 51 is a really brief report on the activities of the Texas Financial Education Endowment. We are coming to a close to the end of the year, which marks our second six-month reporting period for this grant cycle. So reports will be due at the end of January. So far through the really first round, 25%, we have disbursed about 16% of the grant funds have been requested and disbursed. So we'll be looking to see, I suspect that we'll start ticking up as we move forward into the next reporting cycle. And then we've done some maintenance reviewing and updating our policies and procedures because it's already time to start thinking about the next round of awards and starting that process again. So we have been reviewing and updating those and working on outreach, trying to promote, make sure people are aware of the grant, promote. And there's a new process within the state to announce grant awards. So we're getting set up for that. And anyway, so that's really just regular activity otherwise on the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you, Commissioner Pettijohn. Item E is next. Commissioner Reddick, can you please give your report?
Yes, thank you. If you go to page 52, it's a one-page summary of the activities for the Mortgage Grant Fund. Point out here that we did on November 8th select 12 grantees for a total of $710,000. And so we're in the process of documenting all that. And then they'll have training beginning in January with respect to what the expectations are for them. And then the grant cycle, the 2023-2024 grant cycle also, which was the initial, the inaugural grant cycle, it ends on December 31st. So subsequent to that, we'll receive the semiannual reports and the final reimbursement requests. And that's our report.
Thank you. We will now move on to item F. The Texas Department of Banking will need to discuss item F in an executive session. It is 8:50. It's 8:50 on December 13th, 2024. At this time, the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission will go into closed session pursuant to sections 551.076 and 551.089 of the Texas Government Code. For the record, attending for the Texas Department of Banking will be Commissioner Charles Cooper, Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez, General Counsel Robert Nichols, and Information Security Officer Daniel Drum. Also in attendance will be Assistant Attorney General Martin Kovic from the Office of the Attorney General of Texas. The executive session will be held in the conference room, and we anticipate the executive session will last about 15 minutes. Commissioner Cooper, is that correct?
That's correct.
We'll be back.
It's an industry leader.
It was
a long time.
It is 9:14 on December 13th, 2024, and the commission is now back in open session. No action was taken in the closed session. There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned, and the time is 9:14.
It's real.
Yeah.